this evening in our studies in Isaiah. We are in chapter 11. So it begins with perhaps quite a well-known portion of Isaiah. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. There's an expression that sometimes we use. We speak about a root and branch cleansing, or root and branch reformation, or some activity that's a root and branch activity that deals with thoroughly the whole of a situation, right from the root to the very branches. And that seemed perhaps quite an apt title here for this evening's sermon. We come to see that the Lord has a plan, which is a root and branch plan. It's something that is a complete and thorough, a perfect plan to reform and restore and to bring about his plan of redemption. We see in that first verse here this glorious prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus, spoken of there as a rod out of the stem of Jesse and a branch that shall grow out of his roots. And these are words that speak of the coming of the Lord Jesus. But before I come to look at that passage, I just want us to do a short summary, a recap of something that we're seeing as we've begun to look at the book of Isaiah. There's a pattern emerging here that we found that as we're looking at Isaiah, we're seeing a number of prophecies. There are a number of words that the prophet Isaiah has been brought, words of judgment against the nation of Judah, including Israel, the northern kingdom as well, and some of the nations around. But then words that speak of a restoration and a restoring. So there's judgment followed by a restoration, a promise of God's salvation to the people in an earthly sense, some of their earthly trials of their kingdoms. And then we're finding these little glimpses of the gospel message. We've seen these things that are almost, as it were, dropped in, that speak of the coming of Christ. And this isn't accidental. This isn't haphazardly done. When you look at what's been spoken of here, you find that the Lord is, as he deals with the nation of Judah, particularly here in Isaiah, he's speaking about how all the times that he restores the nation and deals with in judgment, they're those pictures of one day a complete restoration, a glorious work, a perfect work that's going to take place. And as part of that picture that's drawn out here, we find that he quite often speaks of a remnant. And so when these judgments are pronounced and there's a restoration, quite often you find that Isaiah speaks of a remnant that shall return. And we find that all the way through the scriptures, but particularly here in Isaiah, that these are things that remind us that the Lord, he has a people, a remnant, a number known only to him. But he is dealing with a people that he will draw unto himself. And so if we just go back through some of these accounts that we've been looking at here, over in chapter 1, and notice how it was, chapter 1, and it begins here with a word of complaint, of judgment against Judah's rebellion and wickedness. But we come to verse 9 of chapter 1. It says, "Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, we should have been like unto Gomorrah." See, there again, here's this reminder. God's judging the nation, but there's going to be a remnant that are kept there. And so, as it comes to at the end of that account there, of speaking there in chapter 1 of the judgment on the nation, and then we find that he comes there into chapter 2, in the beginning of that chapter, and he begins to speak about a more glorious fulfillment, something of the gospel plan. In verse 2 there, "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." You see how he moves from their immediate circumstance and almost those glides into describing, but these are just the small matters compared to a great restoration, the great work, the gospel kingdom there that he speaks of there in the last days. And so he carries on here as we move on into chapter 3. There were more judgments that were pronounced upon the nation. And here's the Lord, beginning chapter 3, the message from Isaiah. "The Lord doth take away," verse 1, "from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff and the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water." Here was another chapter speaking of the judgments upon them. But then what happens when we come towards the end of that and to chapter 4, we find that he begins to speak again about a restoration. Chapter 4 and verse 2, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. Now we have the branch there again. There's that which is hinting at something that's one day going to come, that's going to grow, that's going to be glorious. And he says, in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. The fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. So you see how the connection, he's speaking of an immediate concern for the nation, those that escape, a remnant there. But he immediately says, but these are things that should show you that God has a greater purpose, a greater plan. He's not confined and restricted to the nation of Israel and to their kingdom. He says there's something bigger. There's a bigger picture here. And we saw that as well, didn't we, that as he moved on into chapter 5, we had that lovely song of the vineyard. And there's that the Lord speaking of his well-beloved having a vineyard. We see something, that theme picked up in the New Testament. And so here are these, there's this pattern that's beginning to emerge here. And these hints of the last days and the glorious days, as we progress through the book, they become more detailed. There's more that is added here. They're just little hints there. It says that in that day shall there be a branch of the Lord, glorious and beautiful. But as we move on through, we find more that's added. And so when we came to chapter 6, chapter 5 was again, they moved on to more judgments that were pronounced upon the people of Judah. But when it came to chapter 6, then we began to see some more glorious descriptions here. We come to the end of chapter 6, and again he speaks of a remnant. Yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, shall be eaten as a tale tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. See, there's a hint again. There's this remnant. Here's the Lord saying, now, pay attention here. There's a more glorious purpose that's taking place here. And so as we move on into chapter 7, and we come, don't we, to that glorious account, don't we, of how it is that the Lord had that word for Ahaz that was pronounced there, wasn't it? The Lord spoke to Ahaz in verse 11, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. And he wouldn't ask. So here's a promise to Ahaz that God is going to do something great for the nation, for their immediate concern, for the immediate situation, because they're being beset by Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel, and they're surrounding them, and Ahaz won't ask. And the Lord's response there, remember, we looked at this at the time, was to speak of something distant, something future, a glorious restoration, the glorious work that he was to do. Verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, behold, a virgin shall conceive. And see how the Lord, again, is that connection. There's the immediate judgment and restoration and rescue and the promise of those things, but he says, but look, there's something greater, something more wonderful that's to come. And so we have the promise of the virgin there. And this pattern is repeated time and again. So here in that chapter there, Syria and Israel were the kingdoms that were attacking the kingdom of Judah. So the northern kingdom of Israel allied with Syria and are attacking Judah. And here was this judgment that was coming upon Judah. But the Lord then says, but you'll be rescued. This time by Assyria, the Assyrian nation, who at this time when this is written aren't a great nation, but this Assyrians will come and they will deal with Syria. It's a different nation. Assyria will deal with Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel. And so we see that being prophesied and spoken of here in these chapters here. So in chapter 8 we find the Lord speaking about those things that the king of Assyria will come. Verse 7, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. So here's the Lord through Isaiah saying, Syria and Israel will be dealt with by this other nation, the Assyrians, who will come. So here's this pattern that's unfolding again. Judgment, a rescue, a restoration, a reformation, and there's a connection there, because of course, then we find, don't we, that the Lord then brings his next great promise to the people. So he comes to chapter 9, and he speaks there, that wonderful passage of the Prince of Peace, the child that's born. Chapter 9, verse 6, and here, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. But it's connected with the rescue of the people from Assyria. And of course we saw in the early part of that chapter as well the promise of the light. The people that walked in darkness shall see a great light. And we saw that referred to the coming of the Lord Jesus again, coming to that region of the world. But it's that future glorious plan of the Lord. So immediately they're going to be rescued and dealt with by these nations around, and then the Lord will come to their rescue. But he immediately flows, he moves into a prophecy of things to come, of these great rescues that will come in the future. And so when we come to chapter 10, now remember, now Assyria and the prophecies here would deal with Syria and Israel. Now the people of Judah are under the authority of Assyria. Well, the Lord pronounces that that nation will be broken. So here again, the pattern's being repeated. So Assyria, they won't remain as the conquering power over Judah, and the Lord prophesies that Assyria will be broken. So we come to chapter 10, and we find that that's something of the context of chapter 10 there. So chapter 10 and verse 12, "Wherefore it will come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks." See what God is saying there? Assyria was a tool in his hand. Yes, he was using the king of Assyria to judge the nation of Judah. Yes, he for a time had removed the burden of the Syrians and the Israelite armies from his borders, but they were being used to judge them as well. But that will be broken. And so, having pronounced then again that here was a rescue that would take place, the Assyrian power would be broken, and it goes through chapter 10, and we come to this next great prophecy of a future restoration. That gospel kingdom, the work of the Lord, that each time we see this pattern repeated, he wants the people, he just wants us to see. Here's not just a history of God dealing with a nation and then judging them and then rescuing them, but each occasion is pointing to his kingdom. He's pointing to the coming of the Lord. So we've seen those little glimpses, a branch earlier on, and then a virgin shall have a child, then a son shall be given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And here, as it comes to the end of chapter 10, so I'll be read at the end, chapter 10 and verse 33. Here's the Lord dealing with the Assyrians, and he describes it in terms of him lopping the boughs, chopping down the trees and the thickets. So he says there, verse 33, the Lord of hosts shall lop the bough with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down. The haughty shall be humbled. He shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. Here's God breaking the power of Assyria, and he flows smoothly into speaking about another branch. He's spoken about breaking the branches and the forest and the thickets there, and then he says, and in verse 11, "There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse." Here again is the restoration being pictured, but he points to the gospel age, and here we find the stem of Jesse. "A branch shall grow out of his roots," and is immediately set before us the gospel age, the coming of the Lord Jesus. So you can see something of this pattern that's taking place here. And so tonight, as we come to this, we have that as the background, the context, that Isaiah was being sent with these messages to the people, reminding them that God is a God of judgment, but is a God of mercy. He's a God who will bring judgment upon them, but a God who will rescue them. And all these things point to this glorious kingdom of the Lord Jesus, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest restoration of all. And this is what we have set before us here this evening. So I want us to consider this evening then this branch of Jesse, and that the chapter before us falls neatly into three sections as we consider something of this prophecy here. So firstly, the person and nature of the branch of Jesse. Who is this branch of Jesse? What is his person? What is set before us as a description of this branch of Jesse? Who is he? Well, we've already said, haven't we? And we understand that here is the one who is of the seed of David. Jesse, the father of David, that promised line, the promised land that was preserved from all those remnants, all those occasions when the nation had almost seemed to be snuffed out and the line of David snuffed out, but it wasn't, because the Lord preserved the remnant that he might preserve the coming of the Lord Jesus according to his promise, from the line of David, from the line of Jesse. And so here is this rod, this branch that comes from the stem of Jesse, the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the Lord had promised all those years before, would come from this kingly line of David. But it's an insignificant beginning. It's something that is not what we would have ever imagined in human terms. Compared to all these other kings who came in all their glory and their power, here is one who comes out of the stem of Jesse. Remember how the story began right back there when David was chosen. He was the last of the sons. All the other sons seemed to be much more eligible candidates for being king. But here was David, the one who kept the flock and the youngest of the sons. And he was chosen. And then as we come down to the coming of the Lord Jesus himself, we see him coming in his humility. We see him coming humbly, coming as the son of a carpenter into that household there of Mary and Joseph. And there's no earthly glory. There's none of the splendor that will be attached to what we shall see here is a glorious coming, a glorious restoration, a glorious plan of the Lord. But here's a beginning. This is how the Lord is working. Small beginnings. God's in control. He's sovereign. He's working out his purposes. And so here's the Lord saying, there shall come forth then a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. And here we have the description of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? Where has he come from? What's his nature? Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Here's our Lord Jesus. He is the one of whom it is said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him in full measure. Not in that temporary sense in which occasionally times when the Lord will put his Spirit upon somebody to prepare them for a great task.